Hey everybody, I hope you're doing all right today as you listen to this podcast. First, I'd like to start out by saying thank you to all the members that showed up to the branch meeting on March 14th. There was a motion for this podcast and it got passed. We were able to purchase the equipment needed and the subscription for the podcast. So I appreciate everybody that came and supported that. Thank you. So hopefully this is able to get information out to members faster, something you can listen to and from work, safely during work. So, we really appreciate it. Also, I'd like to say thank you to Rick Byrne. He works in the NBA's office in Colorado, and he's also the Colorado State President. I reached out to him asking him several questions, over, podcasts and how to do them. Where do you get started? What equipment do you get? So he was very patient with answering my questions, and I really appreciate it. He has a podcast. If you guys would like to listen to that, it's called Bipartisan Buzz. So check that out sometime. He answers a lot of questions for things that you don't always think about. For example, how to change your password or even log in to the members only portal. How do you change your address? Things like that. So we're pretty good about telling customers how to change their address, but we're not always the best at changing our own address whenever we move. So as a reminder, if you've moved and you need to change your address, make sure you're calling everybody, the branch, the national, everyone you need to do to change your address. So we'll start out just like the last episode. We'll be reading April's newsletter. Like I said, hopefully this turns into something that's informative. Maybe we'll do interviews. We'll just have some pieces where we can maybe reach out and give you guys some contract updates as we receive those, because sometimes we get that stuff in between newsletters and we don't want to wait to get it to your mailbox. So if you guys have any ideas, comments, concerns, anything, just reach out to me or the hall. Just let Ken know or myself. I'm Casey Ritchie. So we'll dive into April's newsletter. On the front cover, we have an article over the Enough is Enough rally that we held at the state capitol. Branch 458 would like to express our deepest gratitude to everyone who braved the elements, supported the Oklahoma City Enough is Enough rally at the state capitol. Your unwavering commitment and dedication have truly made a significant impact. We would like to extend a heartfelt thank you to Branch 458 officers involved with helping to promote this rally, as well as acknowledge the pivotal roles played by NALC President Brian Renfro and the National Business Agent Dan Versluys. Your tireless efforts have not gone unnoticed, and your contributions have been instrumental in garnering strong attention from Oklahoma City media before, during, and after yesterday's rally. A special mention goes out to the brave individuals, Yusuf Ikhoff and Jeremiah Grant, who courageously shared their traumatic experiences at the rally. Your voices have brought vital attention to the issue at hand, and your bravery is truly commendable. We also want to express appreciation to every reporter, editor, and producer who covered the rally, whether in broadcast or in print media. Your encouragement, accessibility, knowledge, and genuineness, lasting impression, and your understanding of the importance of this issue will undoubtedly resonate with viewers and readers in Oklahoma City and beyond. It's evident that this rally was not just a one-time event, but rather an impactful experience that will be remembered by all involved. Together, we are making strides towards addressing this important issue, and I am grateful for each and every one of you who contributed to its success. Thank you for the support and dedication. Branch 458 extends its heartfelt gratitude for David and Susan Kuzmick, along with their daughters Cheryl and Amber, for their exceptionally generous contribution to the Branch 458 Memorial Scholarship Fund. Their support is truly appreciated and will make a significant impact on the recipients of the scholarship. Cheryl and Amber's previous receipt of the Branch 458 Memorial Scholarship in 2001 and 2004, respectively, adds a special significance to this donation. It reflects the family's ongoing commitment to education and their belief in the importance of supporting future generations. This contribution holds particular significance as it is made in memory of Susan's father, Raymond Pappy, and in honor of her mother, Shirley Pappy. Raymond and Shirley Pappy's dedication to education has left a lasting legacy, and this donation serves as a fitting tribute to their passion for learning. The thoughtfulness and generosity displayed by the Kusmik family truly embody the spirit of unity within the branch. Their support strengthens our community and helps to ensure the legacy of education and support continues for years to come. Branch 458 is immensely grateful for their kindness and generosity.
The Uniform Program, how does it work? Over decades, the Postal Service has established a high level of confidence with the American public and has consistently been rated the most trusted federal agency. City letter carriers in their familiar blue uniforms are the public face of the USPS. People recognize the USPS brand and feel at ease when they see their letter carriers wearing the familiar uniform. Besides brand recognition, the city carrier uniform serves several other purposes. Uniforms provide immediate visual identification to the public, which makes the job safer when carriers are going down the streets, up to houses, and into businesses. Uniforms provide protection from the elements while delivering mail outdoors for hours a day. In addition, uniforms project a neat and professional appearance that customers associate with outstanding service provided by letter carriers. Over the years, NALC has negotiated numerous contractual provisions related to uniforms. Since it is a requirement that eligible letter carriers wear postal uniforms, it was established that the Postal Service must provide eligible letter carriers with the resources to acquire them. Article 26 of the National Agreement states that all employees who are required to wear the uniform or work clothes shall be furnished uniforms or work clothes or shall be reimbursed for the purchase of authorized items from licensed vendors. This commitment from the Postal Service is intended to keep letter carriers prepared for duty while relieving them from financial burdens that come with acquiring durable and comfortable uniform items. Understanding how the uniform program works can be confusing. For newly hired letter carriers, it is important to know when a new employee becomes eligible for his or her uniform allowance, how much that allowance will be, and how it will be provided. And the ways in which uniforms can be purchased. The uniform program varies depending on the employee's status at the time he or she becomes eligible to receive the uniform allowance. Whether the employee is a city carrier assistant, CCA, or a career employee can affect how the employee receives the allowance and how items are purchased.
CCAs are eligible to receive their uniform allowance upon completion of whichever of the following two comes first, either 90 work days or 120 calendar days of employment.
The date they become eligible becomes their uniform anniversary date. This anniversary date is maintained for the duration of their career, even after converting to career status, and becomes the date each year they receive their next uniform allowance. Within 14 days of eligibility date for receiving a uniform allowance, newly eligible employees should be provided with a letter of authorization, more commonly referred to as a voucher, from their local management to purchase uniforms. Once the form is complete, they may take the letter of authorization to USPS authorized vendors to purchase uniform items. Uniform allowances may be used only to buy items for authorized USPS vendors. A list of USPS vendors can be found on the Light Blue website at lightblue.usps.gov. Click on the My HR section and then Uniform Program link. From that section, click on the License Uniform Vendors link. Effective May 21st, 2022, the annual uniform allowance for all eligible letter carriers is $499. After a CCA converts to career status, he or she will receive a one-time additional credit on the next uniform anniversary date. Effective May 21st, this one-time additional credit is $116. Unfortunately, uniform prices are on the rise. Uniform manufacturers and vendors cite several reasons for higher prices, including increases in costs of materials, labor, utilities, and shipping. As stated earlier, letter carriers receive a new uniform allowance each year on their anniversary date. Any unspent funds cannot be carried over from the previous year and will be forfeited if they are not used. If a CCA does not use the full allowance before his or her appointment ends, The remainder of the uniform allowance will carry over into the next appointment, but it must be spent before the next anniversary date. CCAs cannot purchase uniform items during their 5-day break in service. Again, as a reminder, when a CCA converts to a career status, their uniform anniversary date remains the same. The one significant difference in the uniform program between CCAs and career status employees is the way in which uniform allowances are received and purchased. Career employees do not typically use the letter of authorization or voucher system used by CCAs. Career employees are provided with a preloaded Visa debit card and simply provide the card number to the authorized vendor to pay for the uniform order. Upon conversion to career status, letter carriers will receive the preloaded debit card in the mail near their next uniform anniversary date. In the event a CCA is converted to career status after his or her uniform eligibility or anniversary date and already has been issued a voucher, the CCA will still have the remainder of the 1 year of eligibility to use the uniform allowance voucher before receiving the purchasing card on the next anniversary date. The uniform eligibility date for employees hired directly to career status is upon completion of the 90-day probationary period. As a reminder, career employees will receive a one-time additional credit to their uniform allowance for their first allotment received after becoming a career employee. Be aware of back orders. Vendors are not permitted to charge your allowance until the purchase item is shipped. Many items are in short supply as production slowed during the pandemic. It's important for both CCAs and career employees to remember to shop early to avoid forfeiting any unspent funds. New city carriers who have questions about the uniform program or who have met the eligibility requirements have not received their letter of authorization or purchasing cards to buy uniform items should contact their NALC shop steward or branch officer. For more information about uniform allowance and the purchasing process, visit the New Member Resources section of the NALC website at nalc.org/member-benefits. New Member Resources. NALC will continue to address uniform issues using several avenues. The City Carrier Uniform Task Force is exploring modified or alternative methods to supply city carriers with sufficient uniform items. The Uniform Control Committee considers all non-cost material pertaining to the Uniform Allowance Program, and uniform allowances are addressed in collective bargaining. President's Report. I hope everyone is doing well this month. First and foremost, I want to thank those who came and participated in the Enough is Enough rally at the state capitol on February 29th, 2024. All four major local networks were in attendance, as well as others, and we received positive feedback from all outlets. In this edition of the Senior Script, you will find an article titled, The Uniform Program, How Does It Work? From the May 2022 Postal Record. More information about the annual uniform allowance can be found in Article 26 of the NALC-USPS Joint Contract Administration Manual, or what we call the JCAM, Chapter 930 of the Employee and Labor Relations Manual, or the ELM, and Memorandum 1822, City Carrier Assistant Annual Uniform Allowance. Until next month, I hope everyone stays safe and healthy. 10.
Vice President's Corner. Investigative Interview. Shut your mouth. Management must conduct an investigative interview, or II for short, before they issue discipline. Most of the time, management is only going through the motions, and the II is just a formality. The following is some advice during investigative interviews. Number one, shut your mouth. Management is trained to let you talk. You will never talk your way out of discipline. Everything you say is being written down and will be used against you. Number two, keep your answers short and sweet. Answer the questions with as few words as possible. If it can be answered with yes or no, do it. If management wants more, make them ask for it. Number three, do you want to elaborate? No is a good answer. Their questions need to be specific. This question is a trick to get you talking. Number four, do you have anything to add? Like number three, This is a trick question to get you talking. I advise you to answer no. Number 5, I don't recall, is an acceptable answer if you honestly do not remember. Number 6, ask for clarification. Have them reword confusing questions. Number 7, your steward is not just an observer. They can advise you, but they can't answer for you. Make sure you use your steward. Number 8, don't lie. Number 9, attendance. When they ask you why you weren't at work, I was sick, my child was sick, etc. If they want details, make them ask for them. Number 10, return to work form. If management is asking you questions and you believe they might lead to discipline, tell them you will be happy to answer any of their questions once your steward is present. This is important after an absence when management asks why you were absent for the return to work form they will fill out. Number 11. Finally, if issued discipline, don't argue. Sign it, get a copy, and let your steward know immediately. The union only has 2 weeks to file a grievance to fight your discipline. Some carriers feel if they don't tell their side during an investigative interview, they will most certainly receive discipline. This is not true, especially if management has decided to issue discipline before the II. Your side can be written in a statement or talking with your steward afterward. If you have information management did not ask for during the II, this helps your steward fight the discipline because it shows they did not complete a thorough investigation. In solidarity, Eric E. Bew, Vice President. Page 6, Arrow Keys. How many of you are aware of the correct and proper way to sign out for your arrow keys? Some of you may be wondering why it even matters how we sign out for our arrow keys. How many of you have been disciplined for something that would be considered minimal, like your shoes not being green tag, or not wearing the correct hat, no belt, shirt not tucked in, late to work a few times, missing a parcel scan, etc.? Management will hold our feet to the fire over these minimal things, and we must protect our job. Signing out for arrow keys is an important part of our job and must be protected. It may seem small and minimal, but if we fail to properly sign out for our accountable items, it will open the door for management to discipline us for when they misplace our arrow keys. There would be no record that we did or did not sign out our own arrow keys. There are several handbooks and manuals that discuss the proper way to sign out and check back in our arrow keys. Probably the most relevant is the M41 section 431. 431, keys. Turn in mail keys in exchange for a signed key check or signature clearance. And POM section 633.42. Employees must turn in arrow lock keys daily on completion of duty. Carriers must keep arrow lock keys attached to their clothing by a chain at all times while on duty. If a clearance employee is not available, arrow lock keys and any other postal keys in temporary use, such as for a vehicle, should be deposited in a secure location, for instance, a designated storage box. In other words, we must sign out our arrow keys and get them returned at the end of the day to an accountable clerk. We must get cleared for these items or our name is attached to that item and we open ourselves up for discipline. OKC recently got a Step B decision that applies to all the Oklahoma City installation that signing for and checking out the arrow keys using the scanner is to stop immediately. Carriers must sign out for their arrow keys, as we have done for decades. If your office is still using the scanners to sign out for arrow keys, please notify your steward immediately. Casey Ritchie.
And that was my beautiful wife, Aubrey. From time to time, we might have some people speak on here, read some articles, or you might hear from the officers that wrote the articles. Page 7. Recently retired, Bill Lindahl from Southeast. Wild Bill, congratulations. I hope you enjoy your retirement. If there's any other retirements, if you guys would, report those to Ken Mayfield or the editor of the newsletter, and we can get your name published in the newsletter. Page 8. Mutual Benefits. We should all take advantage of one of the newest plans offered by our Mutual Benefits Association, MBA. Short-term disability insurance from the MBA is a great option for city letter carriers since it is not provided to us as an option by the Postal Service. Disability insurance replaces a portion of your income if you experience a temporary injury or an illness that prevents you from working. It is ideal for disabling events that may limit the ability to work, but people generally recover from. MBA individual disability income coverage can be obtained exclusively by active NALC members between the ages of 18 and 59. Disability is an inability to perform the duties of your regular occupation for the period stated in your policy. For consideration of disability, you must be discontinued working, remain under regular and appropriate care of a physician, and proof of loss must be provided. Disability income insurance helps cover you when the unexpected happens. It helps ensure you have the money you need and are better able to continue living the lifestyle you've worked for if you become hurt or too sick to work. How much does MBA disability income pay? You have the option to purchase a 6 or 12 month benefit available in 3 payment tiers of $650 per month or $1,350 per month or $2,000 per month. As stated in the MBA Individual Disability Income Policy, total disability is defined due to injury or sickness. You cannot perform the substantial and material duties of your occupation, and you are under a physician's care. Treatments, consultations, and diagnostic services must be received in person and at frequencies suitable for the condition that caused the disability, and you are not engaged in any other gainful job or occupation for wage or profit. Total disability also means the total and irrevocable loss of any of the following: your speech, or your hearing in both ears, or your sight in both eyes, or use of both arms, or use of both legs, or use of one arm and one leg. We will then consider you to be totally disabled, even if you are able to engage in an occupation. Further care and treatment by a physician is not required. When does disability coverage begin? Your disability income benefit starts 14 days after your disability begins, elimination period. Payments continue for as long as you're disabled, up to 6 or 12 months, depending on which benefit period you selected for your plan. See the chart on the next page. MBA individual disability income is guaranteed. Guaranteed renewable. You may continue the policy up to age 65 by payment of the premium on each renewable date. As long as the premium is paid on time, we cannot change any benefit or refuse to renew your policy. We, however, reserve the right to change premiums. Premiums will not be changed on an individual basis. Premiums will be based on the table of rates in effect for all people insured under the policy who have the same issue age and policy date and are in the same class as you are at renewal. Any premium paid after age 65 for a period not covered by your policy will be returned to you. For more information about the MBA-D plan or any of the MBA products, reach out to your local MBA director at 405-789-2220 or please call the MBA office toll free at 800-424-5184 Tuesdays and Thursdays 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. or call 202-638-4318 Monday through Friday 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. or visit our website at nalc.org/mb. Jeremiah Grant, Branch 458, MBA Director. Page 9 is our food drive poster. It is going to be on the second Saturday in May, so please spread the word about that and prepare for that. Page 10, scholarship news. Thanks to the following Branch 458 members who donated to the Branch 458 Memorial Scholarship Fund: Steve Riggs, Eric Bew, Richard Holland, Bob Bearden, Bill Miller, and Ken Mayfield. 100% of all donations to the scholarship fund are used for the cost of scholarships for winners chosen annually by the Branch 458 Memorial Scholarship Committee. Applications are available for graduating seniors, children, and grandchildren of members towards the end of the calendar year and are generally due by March 31st of each year. To date, Branch 458 has provided scholarships to more than 25 students that are children of members. Membership report. Branch 458 welcomes the new members for NALC. We have 20 new members listed, and for the sake of not butchering their names, I will not repeat them here. They are listed on page 10 in the newsletter. Congratulations and welcome to membership. Branch 458 was recently made aware of the following member conversions to career status. Josh Barnett, PTF, Elk City. We are proud to have each of you as members and wish you a long and prosperous career in the Postal Service and as members of the Branch 458 National Association of Letter Carriers. In memorandum, Toby McPherson of Miwa City passed away on February 28, 2024. Buck Gilliland retired from Farley Station in 2010 and passed away January 25, 2024. Danny Johnson retired from Chickasha in 2006, and he passed away on January 3rd, 2024. Jay Rutherford retired from Clinton in 1989, and he passed away January 21st, 2024. Branch 458 offers condolences and prayers to the friends and family during these difficult times for their lost loved ones. On page 11 is a calendar of all of the April birthdays. So happy birthday. If your birthday is not listed on any of these calendars, please contact the hall and let us know and we can get your name added to these calendars. And on the back cover of the newsletter, we have the attendance for the last branch meeting. All officers were in attendance with the exception of our executive vice president and the mutual benefits director. Our next stewards training is Thursday, April 4th, and Thursday, May 2nd. Those meetings begin at 6:30 and they end at 8:30. Our next branch meetings are Thursday, April 11th, and Thursday, May 9th, and those meetings always begin at 7:30. You can find links to our Zoom links for either of those meetings on our Facebook page or our website, nalcbranch458.com. So that was our April newsletter. A few other topics that I would like to talk about as the Oklahoma City Safety Chair and the District Safety Chair, something that's very important to me and kind of goes along with the Enough is Enough rallies that we just did here in Oklahoma City and that are going on across the nation that we see and hear about in the Facebook and on the NALC webpage and all that stuff. So there is a bill that was introduced to the House, H.R. 7629, and I hope that none of you tune out here. I know I used to tune out when I would hear about legislation that was introduced, but it's something that's very important to our job. This bill is authored to protect our letter carriers. It's the Protect Our Letter Carriers Act. It's something that is going to designate a lot of money towards the protection of letter carriers. It will put prosecutors in all of the districts, the federal districts, and hopefully we will be able to prosecute these crimes and get them to stop or dramatically decrease, which is our goal. So one way for us to promote this bill, again, it's H.R. 7629. You can go on to the nalc.org. Click on Take Action, and you can send letters to your representatives about this. Something that I have done personally is I have typed out a letter to each individual Congress and Senator, and I've mailed it to them. We're in the business of mail delivery, so for us to ask for support, I feel like it's important for us to ask for support through the mail. And it's been something that I've actually received responses to almost every time. It hasn't always been good responses, so be prepared for that. But if we reach out in the mail, it means a lot more than a phone call. If you have the passion for it, if you would like to go up and actually speak and make an appointment with your representative, that is also something that's very important. This shows them that we care about these things. So reach out, email, write a letter, call your representative, and let them know that we need to support our 7629. With that, I'll wrap this podcast up. Thank you guys for tuning in. And again, if you have anything that you suggest we talk about on this podcast, if you have any suggestions, please reach out. Email me. You can call the hall. Just let us know what you want to talk about. Something else we will be looking for is some intro music. So if you guys know of anyone or have a family member that plays any music or anything, just reach out, let us know. All right, and I just want to say thank you to every steward out there that spends their own time doing research at home. I know it's a job that is very thankless sometimes, so we appreciate you. Thank you for stepping up to protect your brothers and sisters. Everybody have a good day.